Hello and welcome to episode one of the Man Casting Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Pavo, and in this episode, I talk about coping with COVID-19 and how everyone is doing and what they are doing, dealing with this global pandemic. After that, I talk about the national anthem and its use in sports. Following that, I talk about the recent event with NASCAR racer Bubba Wallace and what he encountered in Talladega. And then I wrap things up with a conversation about Trump's rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma this past weekend. Hope you enjoy this episode. Let's get to it.
The Man Casting Podcast with Mike Pavo.
Welcome to episode one. Here we go. Appreciate anyone that is listening to this. There are a couple of topics I want to talk about in this podcast. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was coping with COVID-19 and how everyone is dealing with it. We're months into it in the United States, and sometimes it looks like it's getting better. Sometimes we're going to fall back, and experts predicting a possible fall return and fall spike. Some states open up, and you know, after they open up, they're starting to hit spikes again, increases of the outbreak. We can only imagine what the protests are going to do with the spread of the disease. I mean, I can't blame anyone that went out to protest for Black Lives Matter. It was all outdoors, people wearing masks. So from the latest studies of COVID-19, that is a least likely way to spread the disease. So the spikes may or may not be as high as some people predict. But the fact that it's been going on for so long, and you know, we're trying to start to open things up. States are letting outside dining happen, and some states are trying to let inside dining happen. And, you know, the sports world is trying to figure out how they can continue amongst this disease. But I started rethinking about how people are coping with this. And what brought this up was that I seen a study that alcohol sales have gone up 250% since quarantine and the pandemic has started. And that is an astounding number for a percentage, but I don't think it 100% represents what has actually happened. Because if you look at the percentage compared to before, and I mean, a lot of it, you know, people have to buy alcohol from liquor stores, and this is what this percentage is based off of. So if you take into account that people can't go out to bars and socially drink, that 250%, part of that increase, I would think, has to be just the fact that people have less ways to buy alcohol. So the bars, the sales of the bars, what would be the bars, would, I would think, be including, so included in that 250%. So I'm not, I mean, it's still an increase, but I don't think it's that bad. So let's give it, I don't know, I didn't look at the numbers to figure this out, but the 200, let's say it's liquor stores minus the social drinking is up. It's up 200%. Sorry. I mean, and part of the increase, I would, you know, people are not working, so they, you know, and they have nothing to do. So, you know, I've caught myself at times consuming alcohol more than I usually have, and I made a conscious decision to, you know, make sure that I don't. Just recently, I decided not to drink during the week, because I'm still working. I still have a day job, and you know, for me, fortunately, I didn't have a lot of worries that so many of you guys out there have, where my day job is an essential company, and the only thing that really happened to me was that I could not go into the office, and I had to start working from home, and working from home was part of my weekly routine. So, you know, I'd be in the office 50, you know, 2 to 3 days out of the week, most of the time. Sometimes if I didn't have to, I would not go in the office all week, but remotely working was part of my routine. So it wasn't a big leap to just be told to just work from home. There have been times where it's been a hassle, because, you know, I'm home, but so is everyone that I live with. And managing all those people in one place, trying to, you know, record audio, edit video, just in a room where it's not blocked off from a lot of traffic has been a problem for me, but it's minimal compared to what other people have had to deal with, like the worry of being furloughed or you know, not getting to work and just being on unemployment and wondering when or if you ever get a job back. So I can feel for anyone out there that has had to deal with more stress than I've had, but we are all dealing with this together and in our own ways. And unfortunately, alcohol and drugs is a coping method for some people. Even eating is a coping method, and for me, that was more of a problem for me than alcohol consumption, because I'm a stress eater, and I've gained some extra pounds being on quarantine, working from home, and all the stress that we've been dealing with. And, you know, God bless you for having those better habits of, you know, if you're stressed, and your go-to is exercise. I know even the gyms have been closed, but some people that, you know, are addicted to exercise and feeling that adrenaline rush, those people have found the ways. I mean, once this all started, you know, all the positive speakers and the gurus were like asking, what are you going to become during this quarantine? You know, you're going to be better, you're going to learn something, you're going to be fitter. And some of us, you know, we probably tried, did our best, but then stress has become overwhelming, and then the next thing you know, you're just, you know, watching a movie and you ate a whole bag of Lay's potato chips, you know, just putting that out there. It's not something I've done a couple of times during quarantine, but I, you know, I can empathize with people that have been having a hard time dealing with this. it's been an amazing, unique situation for all of us. So I want to ask you, how have you been dealing with quarantine? Have you been finding good habits to utilize during quarantine? Have you been learning new things? Have you been, you know, did you create a little home gym for yourself if you had space? Are you reading more, or are you just, you know, relaxing more, you know, paying attention to your stress and trying to figure out when you need to just turn it all off and just kind of relax, either if it's binging a TV show or another thing that I've done, I dusted off my old PS3, and every once in a while I've been playing a Madden from 2012. And it's, for me, it's just been an additional change dealing with all this stress. You know, I don't have to think about what I should be doing. I don't have to think about what everyone else is feeling. It's something for me. I got to focus on, you know, just one thing for like an hour and a half when I play this, and it's been nice, and it's a good distraction. So what have you guys been doing? You can tweet at me at man near 40. You can send me an email at mannear40@gmail.com. I'll have this podcast linked on my website and ways to contact me, but I want to know what you guys been doing. Have you found yourself drinking more, exercising more, eating a lot more, whether it's good or bad? Or have you just been like going insane and looking for a way to change? Hopefully this can start a conversation with amongst people. So let me know. Really like to hear what you guys been doing. Another subject I want to talk about, recently the manager, I don't know if they call him head coaches for the New England Revolution, was talking about the national anthem at sporting events. And it's, you know, it's kind of a give or take. I mean, some people talk about that a sporting event is, you know, a piece of entertainment, and we don't do the national anthem for any other piece of entertainment, like movies or concerts, maybe those country festivals. They might do it at those. I'm not sure. I don't go to those, but it's something that we don't do for any kind of other entertainment other than sporting events. And for me personally, I don't mind them playing the national anthem before a game. You know, when I played football, it was kind of like a signal, you know, that the game is going to start, and it was almost a way to set your brain up to really get ready for the game. And listening to the national anthem, I always got a little reflective of, you know, how fortunate I was to play football, you know, in high school and semi-pro, that just being in this country, you get the appreciation to realize you get to play a game without worry of what's going on. We have that option. We can just all come together and play a game. So playing the national anthem before a sporting event, that doesn't bother me. I could definitely go away from televising it. That's the problem that bugs me. There's no need to televise the national anthem for sporting events, and it bugs me because the NFL only started broadcasting the national anthem during regular season games after they took you know, money from the government to broadcast it. And for me, that's kind of forced patriotism, and it doesn't feel right for me. It doesn't feel natural. It gives me that kind of icky feeling, like, don't force me to think a certain way. And it just doesn't feel right for me to force it. I mean, growing up watching the NFL, you know, only for the big games where, you know, it made it feel special. Like, you always saw the national anthem before the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's, you knew it was a big game when the national anthem. So I don't mind it even still beginning at the, broadcasted at the beginning of the Super Bowl or even the conference championships, because, you know, that's the last big game before the Super Bowl. I'm fine with that. But to broadcast it before every regular season game or every preseason game, there's no need for it. I don't think there's a need for it. Maybe for the season kickoff game, because it would be a big game. But other than that, there's no need to televise it for any sporting events. So unless, you know, it's for the big games, like the Super Bowl, the World Series, the NBA Finals, that's fine. It's a big thing, and these guys are fighting for. Or playing, yeah, they're not fighting for anything. They're playing for something that most players don't get to compete for. So it's an event. That's an event. Regular season games, you know, you can have it at the game. For me, don't televise it. On the other hand, some people, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement, and people are concerned that if you take it away from, especially being televised, that you're taking away an opportunity for players to speak up against police brutality. And I can understand that point. At this point, I mean, we don't even know when or how sports is going to look when it comes back, and we don't know when it's going to come back. So I think between now and whenever that happens, athletes can find different ways to express themselves, and I am completely all for the athletes expressing themselves. I have no problem with that. I had no problem kneeling with the national anthem, because again, it's picking at what matters. When Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem, that was a compromise from before, where he worked with a Green Beret, and before he started kneeling, he was just sitting on the bench ignoring the national anthem. And, you know, he worked with a military person to come up with a compromise to show a sign of respect for the people that he wanted to express his feelings for without completely ignoring the national anthem. And kneeling was a way that he did that. And for me, that's not disrespecting the flag. That's not disrespecting the national anthem. That's not disrespecting the country. It was a sign for me of peaceful protest to make people listen to what issues were going on. And I mean, for me back then, it was kind of disgusting how he got outed. And I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he was blacklisted from the NFL, and, you know, people didn't like it, and the NFL didn't do anything to help the situation. They didn't listen then, and at this point, doesn't look like they're still listening now, and Roger Goodell has kind of taken a backseat on this whole thing. Maybe he's just waiting to see how he can handle it in the future. But again, for me, that's, it wasn't a sign of disrespect. And if you are one of those people that thinks it's, it was, you can have your feelings, but consider what else is going on during the national anthem. And, you know, the fact that it was broadcast and you see these players take a knee, they take a knee, you got to consider the people in the production trailer working to broadcast the national anthem on television. They're not standing and holding their hand over their heart. You got to think about the camera guy that is moving around, not standing facing the flag. And also, if you remember back when all these NFL games were being televised and televising the national anthem, what was the number one thing they did? They unfurled a huge American flag over the field and had a bunch of people hold it horizontally. Now, if you want to really get nitpicky about it, that in itself goes against the flag code, which again is not, you know, really not technically a law, but the guidelines to respect the American flag, one of them is to not display the flag horizontally. It's all, I mean, you can't, you're not supposed to wear it as clothing. You're not supposed to print it on clothing. You're not supposed to print it on all these other stuff that happens every day. And for me, you know, if you're going to, it kind of opposes the, you know, if it opposes the purpose of the anthem. And if you want to respect the flag, you can't simultaneously do something that against the flag code. It looks nice. It's a big thing. Everyone in the stadium can see it compared to a little flag on a flag post, you know, that could be 100 yards away. But when you compare it, you know, saying that you have to respect a flag and then you cheer for a presentation of a flag that goes against the flag code, that's something you might want to think twice about. And just put it into perspective. I mean, they ask you to stand and remove your cap. They ask. They're not demanding it. And if they were, then, you know, we'd be in China or North Korea where we're forced to. But it's an option, and it's not gonna kill you if, you know, a really old person has problems standing and they can't stand for it, or a little kid that doesn't quite get it yet and he's looking at the spectacle of the game. So, you know, it's the national anthem. It's a nice thing at sporting events. For me, there's no need to televise it unless it's one of the big events, or even just for the Olympics. I'm fine with that. What are your thoughts about national anthem at sporting events? Do you hate it? Do you like it? Do you think that if you take it away, it's going to take away opportunities for Black athletes or any athletes to protest police violence and join the Black Lives Movement? Let me know. Again, tweet at me at mannear40. Email mannear40@gmail.com. I would like to know what you think. I would be posting these questions online as well. Also, Instagram at mannear40. Let me know what you think, and hopefully we can start a conversation about this. If you feel strongly about it and are different from my views, let me know. I would like to hear it. Let me know why. And maybe you can inform me about something that I didn't think about. On to the next subject. One, and this is kind of disgusting, and I just came across this morning. Apparently, Bubba Wallace, the Black NASCAR driver, in, I don't know if it was his garage, but, or a locker room. I don't know how they do this in NASCAR. I don't know where they put all the cars, but I guess where his car was, someone left a noose, and that is just, I mean, and it is disgusting. That is just blatant racism and uncalled for and should be unaccepted. He put out a statement on social media, and he thanked all his NASCAR community and fellow drivers for the support that he has been going, that he's received during the Black Lives Matter movement. And the fact that, you know, NASCAR decided to ban the latest version of the Confederate flag at their events is admirable. And I could, it's good to see that even NASCAR, where once you hear the word NASCAR, all you do is think about white Southerners that are, you know, drinking Budweiser, Jack Daniels, and have Confederate flag tattoos on them. That's, you know, it's nice to see that there is, you know, even one race car driver of color, and that the organization of NASCAR finally decided that, you know, they were willing to isolate some of their fans that believe in the Confederate flag and say, you know, for the greater good, it's no longer accepted, and that is admirable to NASCAR for making that statement and banning that symbol. And you know, I can see some fan base being upset about it because they think it's part of their heritage and they think it means a certain thing. But I can also see that the other race car drivers, you know, they're fine with it. They don't see a problem with Bubba Wallace and what he stands for, because once you get inside a competitive area, you know, usually race and differences get swept aside. Because only a certain number of people can make it and drive in NASCAR. And same thing for only a certain number of people in the, you know, NFL or NBA or Major League Baseball. It's, you know, it's the best of the best. And some people might have were brought up a certain way and with certain relatives that think a certain way. But once you get into that locker room, you know, for those several hours a day practicing and playing games, none of that matters, because you get everyone, no matter what their background is, no matter what their skin tone is, they're all going for a singular goal, and they want to compete. So in NASCAR, you know, all these guys want to win a race, and unless there's some kind of personal grudge, I can't see that any of the drivers care what any other driver looks like. You know, I can see how they've all had to put in a certain amount of hours, gain a certain number of skill, and risk their lives to a certain level driving that fast. And it's nice to see that, you know, fellow drivers are supporting Bubba Wallace and realizing that it's not that big of a deal to have people of color in NASCAR, people of color in the stands, you know, the it's time to retire that flag and that symbol. And hopefully, even as a stereotype of NASCARs and fans go, I hope they can move on, and hopefully they can figure out who did this stupid racist atrocity, and bring them to some kind of justice. I don't know. It's horrible. Thinking about it, is it totally unexpected? You would think so, but some people are just holding on to that silly little symbol, and it's just I hope everyone can get past this, and I hope this doesn't happen more. So good for NASCAR, good for the fellow racers that support Bubba Wallace, and apologies to, you feel sorry for Bubba Wallace that has to deal with this, but he seems like he's strong enough to move on, and he has a good enough support system, so I hope that he continues to do well, and he stays safe, and continues a successful career in NASCAR, along with everyone that is backing him up. The last thing I feel like I should talk about is Tulsa and the Trump rally. It was interesting. You know, it was kind of bothersome to hear that President Trump wanted to start rallies again amid all these protests and amid the pandemic and COVID-19. It was even more bothersome and disturbing that not only did he do it and wanted to start in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of a horrible massacre of black people, that he also wanted to do it on what is referred to as Juneteenth, which was the date of emancipation from slavery. And for Trump has said some racist stuff in the past, and you know, he will decline being racist. But if you look at all those things together, you know, having a rally in Tulsa on Juneteenth, if he can say that he's not racist, but someone in his staff and his planning party, you know, there's too many coincidences to not figure things out. It was just baffling. I mean, just having rallies again. What are you thinking? There's still, and to make things worse, to get a ticket or to enter this rally, you needed to sign a waiver saying that if you do catch COVID-19, they're not responsible. So they know there is a chance that you attending this rally could get sick, could die. And as long as they weren't responsible, they didn't care. Fortunately, after a lot of backlash, they moved it from Friday to Saturday. And then, you know, Trump and his need for applause and people and to show everyone that so many people are behind him, what happens is that the event was like half full. people were live streaming and showing pictures of the arena, which I think was can hold like 19,000 people. They were, like, the whole second tier of the arena was at best sparsely populated. So there was huge amounts of chunks that were completely empty, void of people. So you're looking, I mean, it's, you're looking at half full. And I guess they were going to have an outside event too for people that, for the overflow, that ended up canceled. So, you know that, you know, either there's less really diehard Trump fans out there, or that people are smart enough to realize that it's a dangerous and stupid thing to have, especially in the virtual world we live in now. And, excuse me, as soon as people started talking about the attendance level of this event, you know, his team had to go on the defense and give excuses of why it wasn't packed, why they didn't have the numbers that they were claiming they were going to have. And, you know, one of the things was that they said was, you know, it's a virtual world now, and they had a lot of people on Facebook and streaming platforms to watch the event. And for me, just to think about that makes me ask, why even plan to have a public rally anyway? I mean, he could reach so many people virtually, keep everyone safe, keep everyone protected, keep everyone calm, but he couldn't do it. He needed to have an in-person rally. It was like he was dying, he was like itching for it. And another excuse that was given was, you know, the protesters, which, from the reports that I seen, were mostly, peaceful. There were some confrontations, but nothing really broke out. There was, I guess there was events where the police shot some, pepper bullets or, pepper grenades. I don't know. It's, they felt like they needed to disperse some of the crowd, and they used some kind of force. It wasn't huge. There wasn't a lot of, activity. I did see, I don't know if you did too. I'll try to post it, of this woman that was wearing a Can't Breathe t-shirt, and she was sitting down and she was arrested, because she was causing problems. I didn't see much problems. If you've seen this video, you would see that she's this skinny, petite Caucasian woman that maybe weighs, you know, she's like at most 100 pounds, skinny limbs. She was just sitting there, and you can hear her in the video saying that she has a ticket. So I think she was charged for trespassing, but they took her away, they arrested her, and it's ridiculous. And, people had a right to protest and be there, and the interactions that I seen, some of them got heated, because when you take these MAGA hat wearing people and you put them in front of a black person, you get completely different ideas of humanity, and you know, these Trumpsters, it's, and I mean, I have to deal with it because my father, I don't know why, what happened to him, but he, you know, he's got his Trump hat, which I think he bought second wave, so I don't think it's an official Trump hat. And, you know, he showed me his Trump flag, and I was like, I don't know if it's just old age or retirement, or he's been inoculated with just sitting there drinking all day watching Fox News, and his brain kind of rotted away. But I know how dealing with these people can go, and I can understand at the beginning when he first started campaigning, that's, you know, the things that he promised, and, you know, the keywords that he used. And some people just bought it hook, line, and sinker, and you know, people thought he was going to be like the anti-establishment, which some people still do. I mean, if you look at the people that he put in his cabinet, I don't see how anything changed, except for that it was just different rich people taking power and setting themselves up for getting more money and being more powerful. But it's people believe him and people follow him and they're diehard. And supposedly, you know, people were afraid of these protesters, and I guess there were, an excuse was that Antifa was going to be there, which, again, for me, they're not an organized group. There's people that believe in it, and it's mind-bending that a president is so against a group or an idea of anti-fascism, and people are okay with that. I mean, if you are anti-fascism, I would think that, you know, you're okay with fascism then, and that's not America. And, you know, they call this group, you know, a military group, and, you know, it's funny that people and Trump is not okay with a non-organized group that has, you know, a military look and they carry guns and weapons, but they're okay with protesters wanting to reopen Michigan and Wisconsin, and then people go to, you know, like the state house with military weapons. They're okay with that, but as soon as anyone that opposes them might have weapons, then they become scared. So it's like, if you're on my side, you have a weapon, that's fine. If you're don't have the same thoughts and you have weapons, well, you know, that's not acceptable. But so, you know, the excuses came out, you know, that we live in a virtual world. A lot of people watched online. So why did he have to do a live event anyway? You know, people were scared of protesters. People were scared of COVID, which they should be scared of COVID. And another reason why you don't need or should have these kind of large gatherings, because we're still in the thick of it with no real way to treat COVID. We don't have any medicine for it. People are still figuring out how the best way to treat people. I mean, there's been some advances with, they found that steroid that helps people with extreme cases of COVID-19, help them recover. And that's a good sign, but we still don't have a vaccine for it. And until we get that, we should be cautious. We don't have to live in a bubble, but we should still be cautious. And people, when dealing with enclosed spaces, should wear a mask. Outside in the open, it's not as bad from what people have found, because there's so much air circulation in the chance of you getting hit with someone else's particles that may or may not have COVID-19, it's reduced. And so open spaces, you may not need it. If you're in large gatherings outside, it's still a smart idea to wear a mask. But all these excuses that the administration is giving out defending the lack of attendance is ridiculous. And they can't admit that it was a bad idea. There's no need for it. But you got to look at who their boss is and how he reacts to things. And I, at some certain points, I do feel sorry for these people that have to keep defending and make excuses for this guy. But you took the job. You know what you have to get into. We're getting into. But hopefully, maybe they'll realize that it was a dumb idea and not do it again. I mean, I even saw a Fox News host railing into one of the Trump administration's people talking about the attendance and how ridiculous the whole thing was. So when that's kind of like the crossing line, once Fox News starts questioning what the Republicans and Trump is doing, you know you've crossed a line. So again, I ask you, what are your thoughts about the Trump rally? His attendance, were you surprised at the attendance? I was kind of surprised of lack of attendance. Just because you always think that these Trump supporters are so gung-ho and they escape reason just to support him. But I was kind of impressed that people actually started thinking about the consequences of going in to an enclosed space amongst a pandemic and choosing not to go. So what are your thoughts? You can tweet at me at Mandina40. Instagram, same thing. Email me, man near 40, one word, @gmail.com. And whoever did listen to this, I appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me speak my mind. I hope to hear from you. In any way you want to, positive, negative, you can call me an idiot, you can call me a stupid. I just want you to back it up with some good reasoning. That's all I ask. Let's have a discussion. Hope you all are safe. And thank you for listening to episode 1 of the Mancasting Podcast. I'm Mike Papel, and